What's the name of it?
I'm sorry?
What is the name of it?
The name of it will be, and I checked this out with Phil, the name of it's going to be the Dirty Crawling, the Filthy Crawling.
Well, the Filthy Crawling National Enquirer.
Yes.
That's not what, no, you said the Filthy Crawling.
The news of the Crawling National Enquirer. Yeah, I don't like to be nailed down, if you don't mind the...
Well, you...
I didn't... Phil...
All right, take it easy, man. I mean, nobody's done anything.
I'm anticipating him looking at me with the salacious...
You said nailed.
Yeah, you didn't say it, Margaret.
So she said nailed, so what?
God damn, Mr. Henry.
You see, not every time that I say the word nailed, not every time when I say the word nailed do I want...
Do you want to get nailed?
I'm going to get up before I kill an old man.
Oh, yeah? Oh, come on, sit down, Margaret, sit down.
God...
You didn't... What was the problem here?
I was just asked her what the name of it was, and she tells me the name, and then she said she didn't want to nail it down, and then she looked at me because I kind of licked my lips.
What are you licking your lips for?
Well,
because I said nailed. Oh, baby.
Hey, Bud, take it easy.
She said nailed, Bud, as in nailing down the topic.
I know, but you never can tell. Come on, man. You know, all you're trying to do is piss her off.
Thank you very much. That's what I've been suspecting for a long time, Phil.
I tell you what, if you suspect it, then why don't you just ignore it? You know, I mean, everybody around here has got a weird personality.
Wait a minute. You know, smile when you say that.
Hey, friend, I'm talking about you too, General, with all due respect.
Friend?
Yeah. Everybody's got a weird personality. Everybody's got a way of, you know, taking things. Everybody's kind of kooky, and everybody's kinky, and everybody's way out, way out. It's a kooky world. Thank you.
Good thing he's around to applaud. Otherwise...
Otherwise what?
Nothing, Phil. I just don't think things would be, well, excuse me, nailed down.
Knock it off.
So that's what I'm going to do.
What is the name of it again?
For the 958th time, it's going to be called The Crawling Lying Filth from the National Enquirer. Well, something like that.
Well, Ms. Gray, you said The Crawling Lying...
Yeah, you said The Crawling Lying News.
I don't want to be, again, with respect to me and with an eye on this scumbag...
You don't want to be nailed down.
Right.
Okay, I understand. I know what you mean now.
Hey, Bud, are you serious? When she said she didn't want to be nailed, you were licking your lips?
I was just kidding around and sort of half thinking about it. And, you know...
Oh,
Bud, believe me, son, you're young. You know, stay young.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, now you want to be the object of someone's sexual fascination.
All right, everybody knock it off before I have a... before I have a homicidal rage fit of some kind.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the name of Margaret's feature coming up, ladies and gentlemen, is called The Crawling Lying...
The Crawling Filth That Comes... Again, I don't want...
You don't want to be nailed down.
Okay, you don't want to be nailed down. Why don't we do that now?
That's a very good idea. Thank you very much. We're going to start off, we're going to commence with, and we're never going to look back as we begin the program here with a thing called The Dirty Stinking Lies... That's it. The dirty, lousy lies.
Nice and stinking.
I'm changing it.
She doesn't want to be nailed down.
As opposed to want to be nailed.
Right.
Excuse me.
No. You got to do this.
That's right. Mr. Henry said...
Shut your mouth.
Come on.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, and I may change it again, the filth and the dirt and the lies that come pouring from the sewer of the National Enquirer. I'm Margaret Gray.
This crazy thing called love.
What's your problem?
The music is unusual.
Kill it. Kill it.
Margaret, you're going to have to just...
Margaret, every time somebody rolls an eyeball or arches a damn eyebrow, you can't flip out.
This is my very first time doing this feature, so don't you think you could give me some assistance?
I am. I'm giving you all the assistance that... I feel I should provide it. I'm sorry if I didn't mean to roll my... It's just an unusual music choice.
Well, I chose it. I like it. It's...
Well, why did you choose it?
I like it. It has a Vegas feel. It's got a tabloid thing. I don't know. I knew Keeley Smith. She's a dear girl. I love her voice. And, of course, I don't want to miss an opportunity to tell everyone that I knew her because it makes me look like...
Like your plot stuff.
Frankly, yes.
All right, Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll do it. Thank you, Phil, if you don't mind.
But what do you want me to say?
Just say, here's Margaret Gray.
Here then, folks, is Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Phil. It's time now for the dirty, filthy lies that flow from the sewer, otherwise known as the National Enquirer.
What is this thing called love?
Yeah.
What is this thing called love? Well, I suppose we'll find out sooner or later, but the Inquirer has as a headline, Ellen Storms Out, meaning Ellen has left her longtime partner, wife, husband. Well, let's take it again, for Christ's sake. I didn't know that I was...
You knew you were starting with that story.
Take it again, please, before something... Take it again, bud, before... Save me from a homicide charge.
Oh, Margaret, one of these days somebody's going to take you seriously.
I hope so.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray.
Would you recue that before I... Man, I'm going to cut you.
I didn't know.
Here we go. One, two, and the one, two, three. All right. It's time now for news and information from the gutter flowing from the sewer that is the National Enquirer. Well, the Enquirer has on its front page this week, Ellen storms out, meaning that Ellen has left her longtime partner, the young woman that we all know as Bluesman. I don't know her name. It doesn't matter. We all know. Portia, that's it. Or I guess that's...
Portia?
Yes, that's the name. Anyway, who believes this? Because it's on the front page of the Enquirer. It says $400 million divorce explodes. That is the kind of sewage that they're serving up, and they're calling it roast beef at the National Enquirer. In other news, the National Enquirer is reporting that Rachel Ray and Wendy Williams are at war. Wendy Williams, 53 years of age, supposedly worth $60 million, which I doubt sincerely. And Rachel Ray...
Well, why do you doubt that?
Are you kidding me? I doubt it.
Yeah, but why?
I doubt it. Leave it at that. The 49-year-old Rachel Ray, 17 years on the air, apparently is worth $60 million, and that's horse dung, too. It's mystery. In other news... Why should it
make... Can I ask you a question?
Kill it, but what?
Well, why don't you prepare this stuff before you go on the air with it?
Because I want it to be an improvisation, like this cuckoo deal.
Like this cuckoo thing called love?
Yes.
All right, it just looks like you're paging through and looking for things.
I am. And there's an awful lot in the Enquirer. All of it is a pack of lies, but some are more interesting than others, and some I want to point out quicker than others. Look at this. Matt's untamed transsexual romp, okay? Do you believe that?
Well, I mean, sounds plausible given the news about the guy.
Well, it's a lie. It's a dirty, rotten, scum-sucking lie. And why is that?
Because it's in the pages of the National Enquirer.
Thank you, General. Good boy. Here's one.
Well, Margaret, I don't like being called boy.
I don't mean that racially.
Well, I know you don't mean it racially.
Here's what this is. Steve Harvey's staffer dies in vomit and blood. A lie. Here's another one. This is a horrific lie. It says here that Denise, the young lady that was married to Charlie Sheen, what's her name?
Denise Richards?
Yeah, Denise Richards is somewhere in the neighborhood of $43,000 in debt to the local stable in Malibu to take care of her horses. That is an utter sewer-ridden, foul, malodorous, stench-ridden lie.
Do you get the... She is.
Are you talking about me?
Margaret, we want to ask you something.
What?
You're taking this stuff very personally.
Yes, I am.
Well, what's it about?
Come on, Margaret.
Look at the balance, Gray. It's all right.
Well?
Phil, I have lived my life in defense of the pantheon of celebrity that are our actors and our performers and celebrities. And when I see them lied about, and when I hear about them lied about...
You take it personal.
I take it very personal. It's all I can do to read this National Enquirer, something you have to hold away from yourself when you buy it. You know that, don't you? You've never purchased it?
I've never... What did you say?
She said purchased it.
You've never purchased it. Sorry.
No, I haven't.
You literally have to hold it away from yourself because the stink coming off of it, you know?
Well, not literally.
In my world, yes, literally. Not literally, but yes, literally.
Well, what does that mean, not literally?
There isn't really a smell coming off of it, but yes, there is.
All right, so in other words...
In other words, the stink pouring off of the National Enquirer would be foul. It would be foul. The worst BO any stable, any horse, any cow any pigsty would be stenched up and stunk up and fouled up by the National Enquirer. The stink coming off a pig would be made into something fatal if the pig started to read.
Take it easy. Margaret, when did this start?
What are you talking about? My whole life has been like this.
Are you going to be able to get through this report?
Yes, yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize, and I apologize to you, Phil, and to you, Bud, and to you, Robert, and to you, General. I have been
a little short.
Yes, I have. I've been a little bit short, and I apologize, Phil.
It's all right. Totally understood.
What happened to you?
Yeah, Mr. Andy,
something in my throat.
I'm sorry, Phil. I shouldn't have pointed that out. It's just that, yes, the National Enquirer, it's a newspaper. It's nothing really all that special. It's nothing really all that important. But when you get a little bit into it, you pick it up and you go, a newspaper. And you read the headline and you think, well, isn't that tasteless? And then you turn the page. And gradually the stink, yes, the stink, it begins to rise off of the page. You read about some person that isn't even a celebrity being called out. You read about the custody war between John and Kate. You read about Kendra Wilkinson. You read about Diane Kruger and Norman Reedus. And suddenly it fills your nostrils with the smell of vomit and dog diarrhea. Then...
God damn!
Well, I'm telling you...
Why don't we get to a story?
I'm sorry, yes. Here's a story here that might not hurt me or cause me too much pain. RFK tells Sirhan, I know you didn't kill my father. Now, that on the surface, Phil, is very benign and, quite frankly, doesn't bother me. I'm an admirer of the Kennedys. I didn't like what happened to Bobby Kennedy. I didn't like what happened to Robert...
John
Kennedy. I didn't like...
Take it easy, Margaret.
Like it. But now they're telling me that Robert Kennedy Jr. is saying, I know you didn't kill my father. Well, what I know is that never happened. That didn't take place. The National Enquirer is lying!
Take a walk, Margaret.
Phil?
Take a walk. Go lie down.
Ms. Gray, let me just get you a drink of water or something.
I don't need...
Just lay her down over there.
I don't want to be laid...
You're not going to get laid. You're going to lay down.
Please! Come on, Ms. Gray. It's going to be okay.
What do you think? What do I think? I think she'll be okay. I think she's wound up tight. I think we've been giving her a hard time. I think she's, you know what, she's overworked. We gotta give her a vacation.
Ma'am, that's really important, Mr. Ennie.
Did you just call me Mr. Gray?
I did, yeah.
Maybe you need a vacation.
Well, maybe we all do.
No, I don't need one. I don't need one.
Well, I do.
Then how about if I just give all of you guys a vacation?
Well, you can't do that, ma'am. I mean, there's not gonna be a show.
Well, I think she needs a vacation. Who do we get in here in her place?
Well, don't say it, man. Don't say it.
Look. Don't say it, BD.
Yep. Oh? Miss Gray. Here, have another drink. Drink of water, Miss Gray.
Thank you, Bud. You've always been very kind.
Yeah, I think we give BD a chance. She can sit in. Not that she'd ever take Margaret's place. BD is, look at, Bobby is too, she's too loose a cannon. She's a whack job from way back. But she's a great, you know, a go-to.
Yeah.
Hey, Bud, where'd you come from?
I was just listening to you, so I snuck back in. I've been under the table here.
But don't do that, man.
I agree, though. I better get back out there.
Yeah, go.
Where are you, Bud? Where are you?
Right here, Miss Gray.
So,
I think it's a good idea, Miss Henry, because, you know, we could train her, and every time Miss Gray is sick or goes on vacation, bring her in.
Now, the only problem with Bobby is she's got an ego, you know.
Holy Christ, you're right.
She's going to want, you know... equal billing, all that bull crap. She won't want to say she's filling in.
Listen, you're going to have to just kick her ass into shape. Okay? That's all there is to it.
All right. Hey, Margaret.
Yes?
Margaret, listen, why don't you take some time off?
I can't take any time off, Phil. What would you do without me?
But you know what? It'll be fine. We want you back. But this is not us trying to fail. I want you back, but I want you to rest up because I think you're, you know, just wound up a little too tight.
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, Miss Gray, take a little bit of time off.
I'll think about it.
All right. Just you go ahead and lay down and rest. Coming up in the Phil Henry Show here, we have Doug Danger. Haven't heard from Doug Danger.
Well, the gay man and the gay journalist. Oh, my goodness. God damn.
Well, you don't want to be homophobic.
I'm not homophobic.
I'm homo ego, or what do you call it? I'm egophobic.
Homo ego?
Yeah, what is that? Sounds like a village in Florida.
I said that I am I'm megalomaniac phobic. How's that?
And that's what you consider Doug Dinger to be.
Yay, bingo. Boy, you put those two together real good.
Thank you. We'll be back in a world-famous Phil Henry show right after these messages.
Have you ever said this? What's that smell? And you find out your home's burning to the ground. Hi, Guy Betabaker for The Little Nozzle. The Little Nozzle hooks up to anything that squirts fluid.
Your penis?
Or a phone, or, well, not a phone, or a hose, okay, or a faucet, or anything that releases water. So yes, the first thing I said, hook it up, and it immediately turns even a small little trickle of water into thousands of pounds of pressure and will put out any fire, even a forest fire, from 100 yards off. The Little Nozzle does that, and so very much more. The Little Nozzle, available now from Clavco. The Little Nozzle, only $9.99 on $9.99. Go to your nearest Clavco store. The Little Nozzle. I use the Little Nozzle a lot at home and on the go, and it'll put out flame after flame, fire after fire. One time, we're a little bored. Okay.
The Little Nozzle's helped us. My son set a forest fire on purpose, although he did have the cover of the fact that we were picnicking. So I took the Little Nozzle out, and I attached it to my husband's
finish,
and I said, go ahead and just try to rip one off there, Chad. He did, and it became Niagara Falls.
Little Nozzle, available now from Clavco.
Now the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Thanks a lot, Bud. Bud Dickman and General Galen Shaw with me, Margaret Gray and Robert Leonard, and on the phone with us from Santa Ana, California, with the Orange County Courier, is our friend Doug Dinger, and this is another guy. Doug, lately we've been taken to saying, hey, here's another old friend of ours we haven't heard from in a long time. We really haven't heard from you in a long time.
Well, you know, I don't blame you, Phil. I hope the listeners don't blame you, because I have been kind of incommunicado. I've been doing a couple of things in anticipation of the World Cup this coming summer in Europe. I've been helping out in the sports department at the Orange County Courier. As a gay man, you know, I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, and being gay affords me an opportunity to look at the World Cup through you know, a whole new set of eyeballs, as I often talk about gay eye, and of course my use of shorthand. All of that put together, I think, is going to help the Orange County Courier cover the World Cup.
Doug, this is General Shaw. How are you?
I'm very good, General.
Now, let me ask you something. Covering the World Cup as a gay man, as a gay journalist, you mentioned, you say it affords you the opportunity to see things that others don't see. Now, I heard you've often talked about gay eye.
There's going to be a question in my future here, or?
Yeah. There's going to be a question.
All right, I'm waiting around.
Yeah, okay. Wait, if I may just interrupt, General. You know, no, I don't know.
I'm waiting. You're saying, hey, as a gay, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know that. I wanted to ask. All right, let me shorten the question. What makes that make you such a great sports reporter?
Well, I don't claim to be a great sports reporter. What I'm saying is, because of the discrimination that I have suffered throughout the years as gay man, gay journalist, I'm able to see through a lot of the horse manure, a lot of the BS, about the phony baloney. So with the gay eyeball, or what I used to call the gay eye, now I call gay eyeball, gay ear ball, or gay ear mall.
What does that mean, gay ear mall?
Just something that rhymes with ball. It doesn't mean anything. It's just something I want to
Put the two together.
Yeah, put the two together. And so I've been able to do that. So that'll be a lot of fun. That's not why I'm on the program.
Yeah, I hear you're going to Romania.
I'm going to Romania.
Well, that's interesting. What's down there?
Well, I'll tell you, General, there's a thing called Red Bull Romaniac, and it's a motorcycle race. And I have been fooling around and tooling around on a Harley 750 over the last several months. And I'd like to try my hand at doing a little bit of flat tracking. Now, they do dirt bike racing in Romania, and it's a bit of a tour throughout the country, but I'd like to do a little bit of flat track racing through some of the villages there in Transylvania, and woo, you know, kind of go down and do the vampire thing.
That's in Romania. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Transylvania is in Romania, and a lot of people go down there.
You're going to go down and flat track race on the streets.
That's right. Robert, they have a flat track or street race in there with motorcycles. I'll see if I can qualify for a few of them. And ought to be a lot of fun.
I didn't even know that you had any interest in motorcycle racing.
I really didn't. Up the last couple of years, I got a hold of this Harley. In fact, I've got it. I think Bud, Bud's there.
Yeah, right here. I've just been taking care of Miss Gray.
What happened to her?
Well, Margaret had a little bit of an episode. She's laying down right now. Margaret, how you doing?
Is that Doug?
It is.
I can't talk now.
Let me say hi to her.
She said she can't talk right now, but do you have a message?
No.
She got a message for me?
No, she said she doesn't. Anyway, so you got the bike.
Yeah, I got the bike, and in fact, I've been fooling around on it here. I'm out I'm in Ontario right now, and fire this thing up. You can hear it.
Now, you're going to race this thing how many miles?
Well, these races go anywhere from 200 miles, you know, anywhere from 100 to 200 miles, or, you know, 150, 250, 300 kilometers. And if I can qualify for one of these things, you know, listen to that. Yeah. I'll just take out there. I really love it.
You really got into this, huh?
I really did. Here, I'm going to see it just take off. Hey. Yeah, so when
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it to anybody who really wants to just cut loose and have a good time. I'm Doug Dan. I am a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. Here, listen to this. I'll rev it up for you. How about that, huh? I bet you that freaks you out, General. Me being a gay man and a gay journalist, huh?
I never said anything that you can't ride a motorcycle.
Uh-huh. So,
well, you're not out to prove something, are you?
No, I just thought I'm bugging the General a little bit. Here I go.
Yeah, you know, I hope you don't do that all through Romania, because those people down there are way out there.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, I mean, if that's where, you know, Transylvania is.
So?
You know, I don't think Romania and Transylvania translates into the idea that Dracula is alive.
Yeah, a lot of these people are a little slow, Phil. I think they think that Dracula's out there going, yeah. You know, he's going to jump from behind a tree and sink his fangs into your neck. I'm a gay man, a gay journalist, and you can look into the eyes of a Romanian and know that they're full of crap. There's no vampires.
Now, have you been to Romania?
I have not, no. But I'm looking forward to it.
But so you haven't looked into the eyes of a Romanian?
Yeah, if you look into the eyes of a Romanian, you might see something else.
Well, I'm going to be going there, so I'll tell you what. After I do look into the eyes of a Romanian and I see a lot of horse dung about some guy sinking his... I'll tell you what, man. As soon as they hear this over in Romania, that'll scare the living hell out of them. That'll scare Christ out of them, man. Don't worry. So I'm having a good time.
Hey, Doug, there's a list of 14 things not to do in Romania that you led me to, and I actually read this.
I haven't had a chance.
You haven't had a chance. You ought to read this, because it's a great site. It's a travel site.
Well, I'm not going over there as a tourist, Phil. I'm going over there to understand. I'm going over there as a gay man, gay journalist, to ride a motorcycle.
Well, it doesn't, Doug. My opinion doesn't matter. You still have to understand what the country's about.
Well, what do you got?
Well, it's an interesting thing. It says 14 things not to do in Romania. Don't sleep on the Romanian people. Meaning, if you have the opportunity, if you hit a pub, you'll likely have the opportunity. Take some time to hang out with the local people. They have a reputation for warmth and hospitality, and their sense of humor isn't what you'd expect at all.
So when they say don't sleep on the Romanian people, what are they saying?
It means don't ignore them.
Oh, all right. Well, as a gay man, I can tell you this. I'm gay, and I know I've told you that, Phil. Everybody on the staff understands that. General, you know that.
Of course, only for the last 12 or 14 years.
Wait, bud?
Yeah, I know it. What are you talking about?
I know it.
All right, I'm just double-checking. I'm gay, and so I don't sleep on anybody. And by that, I mean I pay attention to everybody. I know all the details of people's lives, all the details of everything a person is or ever will be. So I don't like even the notion that I'm going to not pay it as a gay man, gay journalist. You understand, Phil?
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
So I'd say point one, don't worry about it.
Here's point two. Don't pet the dogs. Apparently, there's a lot of wild dogs in Romania. They could be dangerous. They could be rabid. Most, they say, are okay. But if you see a lot of these wild dogs that run around in Romania, don't pet them.
Now, that's interesting. Why do you suppose they have a lot of wild dogs?
I would imagine the families, people, homes were broken up, and the dogs... Yeah, that's probably a tragic outcome of... I don't know, man. Maybe it's a tragic outcome of the Romanian Revolution back in the early 90s when people went to jail. Maybe, yeah, maybe the general's right. Maybe a lot of homes were broken up.
Well, you think by now the authorities in Romania would round up these dogs. So I think one of the great opportunities I'm going to have, and I don't believe in being an ugly American, but I am a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, and I'm a gay American. I'm not an ugly gay American, though. I know there's a lot of ugly straight Americans. No, there's probably a lot of gay straight and a lot of ugly straight gay. I don't know.
What do you mean by ugly straight?
Well, I mean that there's a lot of ugly straight gays. I don't know what I mean by that. But what I'm saying is...
You're not an ugly American.
I'm not an ugly American, so I'm not going to go up to anybody in Romania and say, hey, love your country, but you've got a lot of dogs, and why don't you slobs lock them up in a kennel or give them inoculation against rabies or do something, anything, to save the lives of these innocent animals because you're starting to piss me off. You know, something like that. I would never do that.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't because it probably wouldn't end very well.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think you know.
No, I'm talking to the general. What's that supposed to mean?
Hey, Danger, don't even think about it, okay?
Well, what does that mean?
It means the Romanians would probably gang up on you.
Don't worry about it. It ain't going to happen.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, are you kidding? No. No Romanian is going to jump Doug Danger and walk away with it with both arms, okay? You'll walk away maybe with one, but one of them will be severed at the elbow.
God damn, Doug.
Well, listen, don't mess with me, man. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. I'm a gay American.
Yeah, but you're over there, man, to ride motorcycles, not to go around causing fights.
Yeah, what are you going to do, man? You got to pick a fight with a guy, cut his arm off?
I'm telling you right now, if any Romanian puts his hands on me, he'll pull back a bloody stump, one bloody stump and one half a hand.
That's what happens, what?
Are you paying attention, man?
If a Romanian puts his hands on you.
That's right.
Well, you're really priming that country, man, for your visit.
Hey, Phil, look, I want to go to Romania.
No, the stuff you've said in the last few minutes, if there's any Romanians listening, they're really going to be ready for you.
Hey, you know what, man? I'm coming over there with good intention and open heart. I've got a wallet full of money. Huh? Okay, I'm going to spread it around. So I let the word go out from this place and time. I'm Doug Danger, born in this century, tempered by war. I've got money. I'm gay. All right.
Well, here's number three. Don't talk about Dracula.
No, now what is this?
This is 14 things not to do in Romania. 14 things not to do in Romania, and you figure one of them is don't talk about Dracula.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Phil. Thank you for reading these. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be following along.
Why not, man? It's still what the Romanian people want.
The Bravanian people?
Romanian.
That's probably something they want.
I'm sure it is something that they want. I'm sure that the Romanian people would prefer not to talk about Dracula. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm an honest man as a gay man, gay journalist. And I come from the United States of America, made my house gay, and I'm gay and I'm married. Okay?
Hey, you're doing that shorthand again.
I am doing shorthand because I'm trying to make my point because I know you guys are, I can sense down the phone line, you guys are getting squirrely on me.
No, I mean, we're just, I'm reading you this list.
There's a list of things you're not going to do.
What?
He said it's a list of things you shouldn't do.
I won't talk about Dracula, but I'm saying this right now, so if there's any Romanians listening, I'm saying, I think that, you know, Phil, forgive me, but I think I call bullshit on that. Your country's known for Drac, for the Dracul, okay? And I'm an educated man. I'm an educated gay. And you look at this, and you see that there was a man by the name of Vlad Dracul, and you're telling me I can't talk about the Dracul? Because what? You're tired of the Bela Lugosi thing? No. I can't promise that.
All right. Well, what if they get a little surly with you? What if they become very unfriendly?
Well, then we got a problem. Then we're gonna have a situation.
Doug, listen to me, man.
No, we're gonna have a situation.
Doug, don't go over to this country, man, trying to pick a fight or expecting that people are gonna be contrary or you trying to be contrary to them. See if you can't just kind of go along with some of this stuff.
Phil, I'm not going to Romania, and not. You know, I'm going to go into a pub in Romania, and it's been one of my lifelong dreams. I'm going to go into a pub in Romania, order a drink, and say, hey, let's talk about the Dracul. Who knows about it? Anybody here ever gotten sucked? I'm a gay man, gay journalist, so that's a joke.
Boy,
yeah, what?
I'd love to be there to watch you do that.
Well, you know, you're invited.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I won't be around that either.
What a bunch of chickens. Let me tell you something. What about you, Phil?
Look at man.
Listen to this guy. Ow, ow, ow. You sound like one of those dogs that run free over there in Dracul land. Phil, I'm not going to be a pain in the neck. I'm not going to be obnoxious. I'm not going to be somebody they don't want to invite back as a gay man, gay journalist. But if I can't stand at a bar in Romania and go, which one of you chumps wants to tell me about the Dracul, I don't understand that.
So you want to go in there and be offensive?
No. Why are you getting that?
Which one of you chumps?
I'm trying to have a little bit of fun with a bunch of backward people that bathe irregularly, live and sleep with cows and pigs. I'm trying to have a little bit of fun.
Oh, is that what they do? Good luck with that, Doug.
Oh, all of a sudden this guy wanted me to come on and talk about my travels through Romania, and now he's saying good luck to it.
You haven't been, but we wanted to talk primarily about your racing, but you asked me to look up things you shouldn't do in Romania.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
Here's number five. Don't forget to bring a little bribe money.
Not going
to
do that. Not going to do that at all.
Why not?
I'm not going to break the law, man.
Well, how do you know you're breaking the law?
Bribe money? You don't think that's illegal in Romania? I don't need some chump gypsy sucking blood money out of me because I asked the guy where's a pizza parlor. Shit.
Yeah, that's probably not it, though, man. What if you need a doctor or something like that?
I need a doc, and I got to bribe a guy to take me to a doctor? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Maybe you haven't heard me.
I heard you loud and clear, but I'm telling you, in a lot of these countries, and you know that Romania is not alone. You know they do it in Mexico.
They do it everywhere. I'm not going to a country for the very first time and have some blood-sucking gypsy try to stick me up for a few bucks to get me to a doctor or show me where a pizza parlor is where I can get myself an ice-cold beer as a gay man. Not a chance.
So a lot of these things you're going to do anyway, in other words.
A lot of what things?
Things you don't do in Romania and shouldn't do in Romania. That's what the list is. That's what you asked me to look up. So you're going to go ahead and do them anyway because, yeah, you're Doug Danger and you're all this and a gay man and a gay journalist.
You think this is about ego, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Boy, that really hurts, man.
Well, we think we're going to think about it. I'm going to pay. I'm not paying any bribe money. I'm not having some chump. You tell people calling names and everything.
Yeah, man, you call them chumps before you met them.
You know, Bud, you have a way of communicating that every other word I understand. But I got what you're saying. And yeah, Bud, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm Doug Danger.
Yeah, gay man and gay journalist.
Oh, man.
Hey, here's number six. Don't forget.
Hey, General, listen. You know, I love you, and I think you're a great guy. But there's only so much I'm going to take from you. You know that, right?
Hey, Doug, any day you want to throw down, you just go right ahead and look me up, man. I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, man.
Hey, listen, you guys. Knock it off. You guys are friends.
Well, this guy's coming down on me.
Well, you're the one talking about all this.
I'm going to do what I want to do.
Hey, General, let the guy do what he wants to do, okay? I'm just saying you're going to wind up in a Romanian prison with Vlad Dracul.
Fine, man. I'll write a story about it.
Don't forget to plan ahead.
For what?
I'm talking about the things you don't do in Romania.
Oh.
Don't forget to plan ahead. They're saying plan ahead because, like in a lot of countries, the General and I were talking about this, Romania, like so many other places that we may have traveled, people are not on time there.
Yeah, in Europe and Asia, people, an appointed time is a suggested time. It's not hard and fast.
All right, look, you don't have to read all 15, Phil. Let's do one more, okay?
All right, number seven, don't flash your valuables in the open, obviously.
Well, you know, that's another one of those things that it just chased me to have to think that I can't pull out a flash of wad of cash in a nightclub if I want to buy some people some drinks. And as a gay man, a gay journalist, I'm not allowed to do that. See, that's the kind of thing. You think that's right, Phil?
Let me tell you where else you don't flash your money.
No, I asked you a question. Do you think that's right?
Let me tell you where else you don't flash your money. Miami, Florida.
Bingo.
Okay, and that's the United States.
Well, what are you trying to say?
I'm telling you that whether it's the U.S., whether it's Europe, wherever, there are places you don't flash your bread. And if you want to go into a nightclub in Romania, wherever that is...
Well, you tell me that... Get a load of this racist. You don't think there's nightclubs in Romania?
That's not racist, man. It's talking about poverty and stuff. Now, where is he going to be? Where is he going to be in a nightclub? Well, whatever, man. A pub, a bar, something like that.
All right. And I can't pull out a thick wad of American greenbacks and say, hey, check it out. Uncle Sam's money. Yeah. Because when you do that, Phil, I have traveled internationally, and you pull out a wad of cash like in China. Do that in China. Pull out a wad of cash on a money clip. Raise it high in the air and go, Uncle Sam's in town, it's green, and you're going to hear, you're going to hear all that silverware dropping, long tongue kings, whatever.
Boy, you are a racist, you know that?
What are you talking about, man?
Well, just knock it off with the silverware.
Sorry, man, I'm just talking about...
All right, so that's all we're going to read here.
You guys, I tell you what, you guys could blow it, you could blow a...
Yeah, we could blow what?
You guys could blow a person... And he'd think he just had his dick in a meat grinder. How about that? I'm Doug Danger.
Man, that's a cold shot.
I hope so.
All right, well, so good luck over there on the, what is it called? It's called Red Bull Romaniacs, right, Doug?
No, not the one I'm doing. No, that's the dirt bike competition. I'm doing flat track racing.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering what you were talking about.
So you're doing flat tracking through various towns?
Yeah, we're going to do like the Romanian 200 or something like that. Going to go from town to town, just kind of zipping through the streets and checking out the sights and everything, stop off, get a cold one, wet my whistle, you know, whatever I want to do. But I will adhere to a few of those, Phil. I won't talk about Dracula, although I think that that's about as lame as it gets. You go to Romania and you're not allowed to talk about it. Boy.
Well, I'm sure you're allowed to talk about it, but people don't want to hear about it.
Well, I might as well tell them, you know, send the word far and wide to friend and foe alike. Doug Danger is coming to town and hell follows with me. So
that's nice.
Well, I've heard about Romania as I want to hear.
Well, then why don't you just not go?
No, now I want to go more than ever. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to tell them, Doug Danger, gay man and gay journalist. Anybody got a problem with that? You?
You know what, Doug? I don't want to be you. I'm glad that I'm not you.
Why, you homophobic?
No, I wouldn't want to be an asshole.
Hey, Phil, you're the asshole.
Doug Danger, folks. Gay man and gay journalist. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, this is Margaret Gray, and my new holiday songbook is out for the 4th of July and beyond. This summer sensation is perfect for sing-alongs, for sitting around the campfire, around the picnic table, and enjoying some of the great patriotic songs. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the doo-de-doo-de-doo. Fill in the words, you don't have to know the real ones. You see, I adhere to improvisational lyrics. I believe that as the song moves you, so thusly should the lyrics then flow from you. Here's another one. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, Yankee Doodle Doodle Doo, Doodle Doodle Doo, and the D-D-D, born on the 4th of July, boo. All kinds of wonderful patriotic hits, such as this one. Oh, Yankee Doodle went to town, Doodle Doo 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 Doo, who knows the words of that song? I don't. Here's another great 4th of July and Labor Day special. Doo 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 doo. Or this favorite, America, America, la-da-dee-dee-dee-doo. Or this one that no one could ever forget the lyrics to. Oh, say, can you see by the light up in the dawn and the rocket's red glare and the bursting, blasting shells and the buildings blown up and the stuff and the thing.
The Margaret Gray Patriotic Songbook, available now at the Burlington stores. Or you can write, send $5.27 to Margaret Gray Songbook, Jack Perry's house. I'll take the money, but I won't sell you the I'm only joking.
Get out of here, will you?
Ow!
Send $5, not $5, send $15, how much do you think it's worth? Send $20 to Margaret Gray's songbook in care of the Phil Hendry Show. No such songbook exists. Please don't send us any money.
The Margaret Gray Songbook, a wonderful way to enjoy the summer of patriotic love and duty from
me, Margaret Gray. My eyes have seen the glory of the thing and the do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Are we out?
You know, Phil Hendry website at philhendryshow.com holds the archives of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking about over 35,000 hours of radio show on our website. Along with that, we have video casts, we have, and I'm trying to talk over this jackass, what is this?
That's some of the surf music.
Yeah, okay, some of the surf music.
Why don't you turn it down, bud?
Turn a little down. Yeah, turn a little bit of it down. Turn the whole thing down. Anyway, go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. That's a subscription to our world-famous website with 35,000 hours of our unique, incredible, bitchin' far-out radio show and all that. And along with it, we have lots of different kind of video casts that we've done in the past. Not only the archives of our video casts here, but as our radio show evolved, we started doing video. And a lot of different kinds, like 360 video.
Yeah, what was that 360-degree video? That was that kind of came and went, didn't it?
Yeah, it was an experiment that we tried and... You know, we were trying everything in those days. We also have television pilots that we produced, TV and radio interviews, lots of stuff. The Hendry home movies, family home movies going back to the 1940s. Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about the extended Hendry family.
Yeah.
How do you spell Hendry?
Don't be a smartass, bud.
I'm just kidding.
No, but that's H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
I know.
Is Margaret all right?
I'm fine. If I can, excuse me. Let me just sit down. I'm fine, Phil. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that I missed Doug, but I also heard that...
Well, he wants to go over to Romania and get himself into some trouble.
I simply want to tell people that the Margaret Gray feature, which is news from the garbage can, that's what I'm going to call it, Phil, news from the garbage can that's the National Enquirer.
Well, I think that if you give it a good, definite title like that.
No, yeah, I've got it figured out. I was thinking about it while I was laying on the cot out there. Are you guys going to buy a couch or anything?
Well, Mr. Ennis said get cots. That's the best thing.
I mean, we got a bunch of army cots.
What'd you do, get them cut rate or something?
Yeah, get some army cots cut rate.
I'd rather lay on a couch if you don't mind.
All right.
Cot. Yes, so what I did was I decided, you know what, I was laying and thinking about it. I'll just call it news from the garbage can of the, you know, I haven't decided on, I don't know whether I want to call it news from the garbage can of the National Enquirer or news from the garbage pit of the fucking.
Go lay down.
She's really wrapped too tight.
Maybe I am.
Miss Gray, I'll bring you a lemonade.
Great.
Wow, man.
Do you want to go BD?
Yeah, from now on, let the code be we're going BD.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we will do that probably starting tomorrow.
What's that?
Starting tomorrow.
I can't hear it.
Starting to...
Did you say something?
Nothing. Don't need to worry. Yeah, so it's time now here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to check in with our good friend Bob Green. Bob's going to talk to us today about the primaries that just happened here in the United States. A lot of traditional Republicans, Bob, you know, kind of went belly up. Now, I know that you are a businessman. Bob, of course, is the CEO of Fraser Foods. But it's interesting, I think, for us to get your take and the take of other business people on the ultimate businessman these days, Donald Trump.
And Phil, thank you. I'm glad you put it that way, because that is true. I know I'm a businessman. I'm the CEO of one of the fastest-growing grocery chains in the United States of America. And I'm here to tell you that Donald Trump knows what he's doing. Now, a lot of people out there who are not in business, they're employed by other people. I get it. There's a lot of people out there that maybe aren't that good with money. I get that. You have to understand that I'm a businessman, and if I'm telling you that Donald Trump is a good vote, why would you disagree with that?
Well, I am not in business, and I would disagree with it.
All right, General, you and I have our issues, but I'm saying in the rank and file of the American people, the time has finally arrived for you to quit questioning Donald Trump and let him do his job.
All right, Bob.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. Just one more point, Phil. Donald Trump has led the greatest recovery in American history.
Oh, Jesus.
He's led, what is the oh, Jesus?
You know that that's not true.
What are you talking about, Phil?
Just let him finish. Go ahead.
Donald Trump has led the greatest recovery in American history. He just went to Korea and broke bread with that Kim Jong-un. This is a guy that was launching nuclear missiles a couple of months ago. This was a guy that was considered an international pariah. And there is Donald Trump breaking bread, finding commonality, sharing a cocktail or whatever they did, you know, and getting to know the young man, becoming friends with him, you know, and having a close relationship, getting closer maybe than he's ever been to any human being before. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump, but Kim Jong-un. Donald Trump and him spending long hours together.
What are you making this sound like anyway?
All right, I'm sorry. But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're trying to say, yeah.
Anyway, if Donald Trump says that the Koreans are not going to have nukes, he means the Koreans won't have nukes. What is all of this questioning of what Mr. Trump is saying? That's the part that I don't understand. One final point, Phil. When Mr. Trump says that this is the greatest economy we've ever had, when Mr. Trump says we've had the greatest unemployment rates we've ever had, you can believe him. This questioning what Mr. Trump is saying, I don't understand where it's coming from, and it's starting to wear a little thin, and I think a lot of people are noticing it. And so I'm trying to say to your audience, Phil, and to all people that I'm talking to wherever I go, I address a lot of business conventions, I talk to a lot of business consortiums and so on, I'm saying to them, the time is running out for you to get on board. And...
Well, what does that mean?
Let me finish.
I'll love to know what that means, too.
Let me finish, if you don't mind. The time is right. The time is running out for you to get on board and support this president, because it's getting a little tiring. And Donald Trump supporters see it as well. They notice there's a lot of people pulling against him, and it's just getting a little boring. So I'm sure the president's made note of it. I'm sure he's passed the information along to national security.
Now, wait, hold on. I want to interrupt.
I'm not done yet. I promise you, General.
Go ahead, but make it snappy if you don't mind, because there's a lot of stuff we want to say.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff you want to say, Phil. Guess what? You can say it every day. You can say it every day of your life. I'm on here just a few times out of the month, and otherwise I'm talking to five or six people, so if you don't mind.
All right, go ahead.
Down Phil.
I'm saying that Mr. Trump just got back from Korea. Korea! Where they were going to launch nuclear missiles, and he has effected an agreement between the United States and North Korea that's unprecedented. The nuclear missiles are leaving. Now, a lot of people are saying, yeah, how do we know? You got to verify. And this is where I don't understand it. I know a lot of business people agree with me. Mr. Trump said so. What is this idea? Why are people needing verification? The president of the United States, his name is Donald Trump, he came back from Korea and said, there's no more missiles. That'll be the end of it. And yet, all this talk and all this arguing. So what I'm saying, what everybody, all of the people, that from Ben Shapiro to Mike Cernovich or whatever that his name is, and the other guy, whatever these guys are called, all of us agree. The time is to fall in line with Mr. Trump. Listen to what he's saying, and let's make this as easy as possible, because we don't want it to turn ugly.
Okay, now...
Wait, final point.
Hey, Bob, you've been on your final point now for the last 15 minutes.
Final point, God! Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, final point.
I heard you, General. I'm talking to the host of the show. I don't think I need to talk to you.
Hey, I'm giving you my opinion anyway.
All right. Final point. America... too long has indulged its critics, it's indulged its protesters, it's indulged the people complaining about her. There are many ways that we can live life in America. There's the way of the liberal and the way of the conservative. The right way and the best way is the conservative's way. We get our way, but liberals don't. Now, liberals will say they get their way, but we don't. Well, liberals had their way for a long time. We've had our way, too, but we get our way. What I'm trying to say is this. Conservatives, this is the way that we're living now. And liberals need to pack it in, and they need to just go home and shut up. Because Mr. Trump has said, no more of these liberal ideologies. And that's all there is to that. And I don't understand. I've talked to business meetings. I get a lot of people doing the same thing. General, go, oh, excuse me, I want to make a point. I said, what? You know, 9 times out of 10, every meeting I know I'm going to have to tell somebody to shut their mouth and sit down.
What do you mean, shut their mouth and...
I'm not done yet, God.
Hey, you're done, Bob.
Phil, no, just a final point.
You've made your final point. You're done, Bob.
No, final point. Just give me 10 seconds. Shut your mouths. Do what Mr. Trump says to do. Shut up. Go to work. Come home. Keep your mouth shut. Go to bed. Get up and shut up. That's the way to live it now. We've been living too long, and people have been criticizing Mr. Trump for too long, and he's been doing all of this good stuff. And guys like Henry want to say, no, he didn't. You can attribute it to Obama. And Mr. Trump has already said he did it.
Do you believe him?
May I finish?
You know what, Phil? No, you may not finish. Do you believe him?
I'm going to hang up unless you let me finish.
Go ahead, finish.
The last thing I want to say. Mr. Trump told you to shut your mouths. And I'm not just talking to Phil in general. I'm talking to all of you out there. Please shut your mouths and just do as he says. And we're going to have a great, great, for the first time ever, we're going to have a truly great country under Donald Trump, President of the United States. But you've got to shut up, people, please. I'm saying, for your own good, for your own safety. Go ahead, Phil. You had all this.
What you just laid out there is basically attitude and behavioral points for people living in a dictatorship.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I'm glad that you knew I was going to say that, so we can talk about it a little bit.
No, can I make a point?
Hey, you've made all the points. I voted for this guy, but I didn't vote for that.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Trump.
Then you should understand.
No, I don't understand. There was nothing in that jackass's program that said I can't disagree with him.
Well, the time has come, General. People have disagreed too much.
And so what Donald Trump is saying is he's allowed everybody to protest, and he's allowed everybody to go against him. Now the time is to get in line, follow along.
Yeah, follow the program. Stop with all of the complaining. Do what Mr. Trump tells you to do, and shut your goddamn mouths for the first time in your mouth. in your lives.
Well, yeah, I don't like you talking that way, and so I don't want you to do that anymore.
Do what? Talk honestly?
Yeah, you're telling everybody to shut their GD mouth.
That's what Mr. Trump wants. Why wouldn't you want what Mr. Trump wants?
I thought I wanted what Mr. Trump wanted.
Oh, you vote for him, and then when he gets elected, you don't want him to do what he wants to do.
Donald Trump said that he would reinvigorate the economy, that he would get away from this globalism and get back to the nation state. That's what I agreed to.
And that's what he's trying to do. But you've got too many of these liberals who want globalism. You got a lot of conservatives that want globalism. What's happened to this country? Why have conservatives abandoned their principles?
That's not abandoning a conservative principle.
What is?
Becoming an anti-globalist is not abandoning. Conservatives are free trade advocates. By traditionally, free trade, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean by that, and I'm a conservative, and you're talking about free trade what?
Internationally.
I thought you were talking about free trading in America.
What? What do you mean free trading in America?
Just trading across, you know, back and forth between us.
That's called selling stuff.
All right, but Mr. Trump has already said that we're not going that way, that we're withdrawing from the world, that we're going to be one country buying and selling stuff to itself, and everybody else can rot in hell, because that's what they told us to do. So guess what? They get to do it, too.
Now, I want to ask a question. May I, sir?
Don't be a smartass, General.
You know, Bob, don't talk to me like that.
Yeah, I know you're a ranking general, but Mr. Trump is now the general of the country.
I got your Mr. Trump hanging. I got it swinging. All right, Bob.
No, what do we want, General?
I'm going to tell you this. The United States of America is a nation among nations, a member of the United Nations. If Donald Trump wants to withdraw us from that family of nations, that United Nations...
What do you mean family of nations? All they've ever done is stick it up the giggy with the Wawa brush. You ought to know that.
Well, I don't even think you know what you're talking about. If Mr. Trump thinks that's a winning philosophy, and he didn't say anything about that...
Are you kidding me in his campaign?
He didn't say that he was going to take us out of the community of nations. He said he didn't like the Iran deal, and he probably didn't like NAFTA.
Well, that's what he meant, and you weren't paying attention. When Mr. Trump said, General, please, sir, I respect you. Please just shut up and let Mr. Trump...
I'm never going to shut up. I'm always going to be talking.
Then
what? Yeah, what was this thing you said for your own good? What does that mean?
I think at some point, Mr. Trump, along with the National Security Advisors, along with his cabinet, and those people who are charged with, maintaining the peace in the United States, I think at some point you have to begin to think proactively. What are we going to do with these people?
What people are you talking about?
The people that won't shut their mouths.
Those are all the people of the United States of America.
No, that's not all the people. It's the people that don't support Mr. Trump.
Yeah, so what? I want in on this. Never mind. Go lay down, Margaret.
Who was that, Margaret?
Yeah.
Yeah, Margaret, what do you want?
She's not feeling well.
What are you doing to her?
We're not doing anything to her. She's laying down. Bud.
Yeah, you want some water?
I don't know. I don't know what you guys are doing to her, but I'll tell you this.
We're not doing anything to her.
I'll tell you this. Mr. Trump has been patient enough. We're approaching a breaking point. If the American people don't get on board the things that he's saying and agree that he's the greatest president that we've had, if the American people do not sign off on this being the greatest economy and that he's responsible for it, and it's very important, then what are we supposed...
Then what are you supposed to do?
Well, Phil, I didn't go all dramatic and go, then what are you supposed to do? But that's exactly what I mean. What are we supposed to do?
Sit and take it like any American president and do your work and say, hey, those are Americans. They've always got their opinions.
Well, that's true. That would have been true with any regular president, but this is Mr. Trump. You see? I keep going back to that.
You keep going back to Mr. Trump like he's something special.
And he is something special. I've been trying to tell you. Why won't you listen?
You're the one bawling. You're about the 10th guy this week that started crying.
Well, it's very frustrating. When Mr. Trump has said, now, Phil, I want to ask you, isn't Mr. Trump responsible for the best economy in the history of the country?
No.
Well, who do you think is responsible for this economy?
I think it's 10 years of a lot of hard work by a lot of people, primarily in the Obama administration.
Oh, man, No, that's not true.
Yeah, it is true, and I've got the charts and the graphs and the economists to prove it.
Well, we have some of the best economists in the world in the Mr. Trump administration, and they don't agree with it.
I saw one of those jackasses on TV, one of Mr. Trump's economic advisors. By the time they got done with this guy, he was sitting there smiling. He had a crap-eating grin on his face. He didn't know what to say, but he was like shrugging his shoulders and, you know, saying basically, well, that's what I was told to say.
What?
I know what Phil's talking about. These guys get on there and double talk all the time.
It's not double talk. Mr. Trump has, look at black unemployment. I wanted to get into that. Black unemployment.
Yeah, that's the one they use so they can win black votes. Like, this is something that Donald Trump did all by himself, that he loves black people so much. Black people aren't fooled by him. He didn't love black people.
But Robert, I'm really shocked. Donald Trump has overseen the lowest unemployment rate among blacks ever. And Donald Trump loves the blacks. The blacks, and there's photographs I can show you of Mr. Trump with black people have their arm around him and everything.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Uh-huh. What about it? That's what you got. How about that, Robert? How about that white man talking that way?
But what are you talking about? Why are you bringing that up?
I'm bringing it up to say that Mr. Trump has helped the black way more than any black, way more than Obama did. Mr. Trump understands the black people. He understands he understands you.
You people?
You people? Henry, what do you train your black... No, not train.
I don't train my black people, no.
Do you train your people to... See what you did? You got me so...
You know, Bob, you ought to come on this program someday with your stuff a little bit more tightly scripted so you don't have to go off script.
I'm not going off script.
Well, that whole you people thing...
I'm saying to Robert, Mr. Trump has helped the black people. Why won't you help him?
Because he's a racist, man, because of his comments on birthers, because of the Central Park Five that he will never be able to outlive, because he hasn't even apologized for that. What about that? What about the Central Park Five?
What is it?
It's the Central... You never heard of it, have you?
I've heard about it, yeah. What about it?
Five innocent men that this president of yours took out full-page ads saying they should be executed, and after it was determined they were innocent... By DNA evidence, he hasn't been man enough to apologize for any of it.
Well, what has he got to apologize for?
He wanted five innocent men executed.
Look, Phil, Mr. Trump is not like any other president.
Well, you call him Mr. Trump one more time, I think I'm going to go right through the phone on you.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Threaten me with violence.
Well, what have you been doing?
I haven't threatened you with violence.
You said the time has come for people to get on board behind Mr. Trump.
All right, you know, I've said what I'm going to say. And you got to get with it, because Mr. Trump is coming to town. That's what we like to say. Trump's coming to town, and hell follows with him. I'm Bob Green, reporter.
You know what? This whole thing where you won't let me go through the phone, I may lift that prohibition. You should have lifted it today. Well, I'm sorry, but in the future, I may lift the prohibition against going through a phone. How's Margaret?
Yeah, she's doing all right.
Margaret Gray will probably be... Well, I'll tell you guys later. World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
This is General Galen Shaw. And if you're listening out there, Bob Green, Phil Henry lifted the prohibition on going through a phone. Next time you come on these airwaves and talk to me the way you talk to me today... You know what? All they're going to find is a green apron with your name tag and a grease stain. God.
I'm Bob Green.
Who said that?